And joining us this morning from the Deputy Mayor's Chair at the City of Bloomington, Showers Plaza at City Hall, is our good friend Mick Renheisen. Mick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing well, thank you. And you?
Well, we're good. They even moved the tee times up today at the World Golf Championships at Firestone South there in lovely Akron. They're expecting some afternoon thunderstorms as well. So the 50 best players in the world getting an early start today. And your buddy Jordan Spieth already made a birdie. So good to see he's found some fortune in his early life.
Yeah, he's had a successful
caught a little break finally.
20-something phase of his life, hasn't he?
Just had a birthday, so he's a brand new 24 in the Open champion, the champion golfer of the year, looking to stick another one. Dustin Johnson won the U.S. Open in this event in consecutive times out last year. It's happened before, so we'll watch the golf all weekend at that big, bad course in Ohio. But we've got plenty to do here. Heck, we've got deer. We've got downtown businesses contributing to help out the mayor. I missed you last week. I was out of town, but the mayor pledged last week, hey, here's a three-pronged answer we're looking for. We want some help from the public sector. We want some help from the private sector, obviously city and county, and the public sector to help fund and extend the hours of Shalom. Boy, you're off to a flying start. Tell us all about it.
Well, we just have a very generous community, and the mayor wanted to ask for, and I don't think any of us thought there would be this fast a response and this significant amount of pledges this quickly, but I just think that resonates with how Bloomington people wrap themselves around an issue, and especially when they see it's one that needs some help and some attention. We've been trying to give it that attention, and obviously there's a lot of partners that have to be involved, but I want to thank Cook Incorporated and IU Credit Union and Kilroy's for immediately stepping up to not just match the mayor's request for some additional funding, but exceed it significantly. I think it's...
And just to be clear on this, Mick, you wanted $65,000 total, correct?
That's correct.
About 22, 22, mm-hmm. and 22 over the three. You already have $49,000 from private business. That's a great start.
And I want to make it clear that the city's commitment for its share has been secured and has been committed, and there's no other steps that need to be taken. The city has pledged theirs. The county has indicated a commitment verbally. They just need to go through another process. That Amanda Barge is leading the way with the county commissioners. We fully expect the county will come up with their third, and of course the private sector's already exceeded their third. And you might ask what we would do with any additional funds, and we're setting up what's known as a non-reverting fund that allows funds to be collected and not returned to the general fund at the end of the year if they're not completely used, and we'll use any excess funds for future needs for the downtown initiative.
And that could cover any part of the initiative, correct?
Well, that's our hope. Now, we want to talk to our partners who just pledged these funds and, you know, suggest that the first $22,000 that they pledged will go to exactly what we've asked them to do, which is extending Shalom's hours. And then the excess part, we would ask them, as new initiatives roll out from recommendations from the task force and recommendations of the coordinating community council that's going to be formed to evaluate these methods that are being piloted and attempted, and if they're successful, we'll like to try some more or extend the one that's already been mentioned. Remember, this is a pilot for a year for the Shalom hours. If for some reason it's not doing what it's intended to do or it has negative consequences, we can always stop it. It's not like it has to happen for a year. It could be cut short. Then again, it could be extended if it's effective. So we want people to know that we're trying new things, and this is the latest one, and it's just really a tribute to our business community, those three that we mentioned, but there's also downtown businesses that have sponsored programs in People's Park.
We're talking with Mick Renheisen, who's the deputy mayor. And Mick, just for clarification purposes, the city's third of this is already committed. That's done. You don't need to go any farther. You have that money. You have more than the one third from the private businesses. You could technically go ahead right now with this without the county coming in at all, but you're saying the county is pretty well committed to coming in also, right?
That is right.
So this is a done deal, would you say that?
Right, and the Shalom director, Forrest Gilmore, is, because he's seen the outpouring of support, is already gearing up for getting staffing and training and additional weekend hours created, and as soon as he's comfortable with it, with that all being in place, we'll announce jointly when the hours will be extended. It could be within the next 2 months.
Excellent.
Yeah, he indicated initially there would be October to get people geared up.
Right. You've got to add the staff and everything, supplies and everything else that goes with that. Mick, who is going to eventually determine whether this is quote unquote a success or quote unquote a failure, and what characteristics or qualities or measuring sticks are you going to use to determine one way or another?
That's a good question. There were two elements of the mayor's announcement last week. In addition to this, the formulation of a community coordinating council. That's a high-level group of people representing the downtown businesses, Indiana University, the healthcare industry, IU Health, the city, the county, to look at and evaluate, are these measures doing what we hope they'll do? And if not, what do we change in midstream, or what do we look to do next to try to continue to help with this challenge that we're facing in our community? The metrics for that will be developed by another group of people who are kind of more in the weeds, if you will, that'll look at what existing data do we have about arrests, about overdoses, about runs to the hospital, about mental health, all of those things that existing agencies may have that's not been collected, assembled into one place, and then looked at as a way of starting with a baseline. Here's where we're at today. How do we get an improvement in each of these areas of the challenge that we face in our community? So that's what that metric-driven part of this element will do. And it's mostly going to be members of staffs of a variety of places, like county health department, several departments in the city, the police department, the sheriff, you know, others that touch this challenge in a very variety of ways that we need to get data from to understand where we are today and then how do we improve on those metrics moving forward.
Excellent. So there's the game plan, folks. If you're wondering how this all is coming together, now you know. And then we'll again, we always joke about hurry up and waiting, but sometimes you need to hurry up and wait to make sure this is executed in the way that's proper to get things started.
And congratulations to all concerned on pulling this off with that
first step, Keith.
Level of speed.
That's right.
Now, Mick, the other big issue is deer are back in the headlines.
And you're the expert in this.
That's right. You
field,
were through so this I'm, as part of the Parks and Rec.
We're happy to have you on today. What did we learn over the last couple years from not culling the deer, and why is this an issue again moving forward?
Well, I would say that the issue really never changed. What we promised when I was still the Parks Director and what the staff and parks has continued to do is collect data on the impacts of deer browsing on the vegetation at Griffey and the Griffey Lake Nature Preserve. That's a unique natural resource in our community, 2,000 acres of property that's so close to the city, and it's got a lot of unique natural features and a diverse amount of flora and fauna. And it's our job as a city to protect that resource, and the threat at the moment seems to have been the deer browsing. And if the deer browse...
Now, when the deer browse, do they use Internet Explorer or Safari? What are we doing here?
We'll have to do a survey and find out the answer.
Bravo, Mick.
Yeah.
But the issue is going to be, again, what solves this problem moving forward?
Well, I think we went through a pretty extensive round of discussions about that several years ago, and from my perspective at the moment, and I'm not leading that charge at the moment, of course, but I don't think any of the methodologies have changed. There's still really the likelihood of a cull being the way to manage bringing the number of deer down. Now, remember, we're not saying eliminate deer from the area. That's not ever been the goal. It's just to manage it to a number that allows for all the other wildlife and the plants that we need to grow up and keep the Griffey area what it should be protected for the future Bloomingtonians' use, and you can't do that if you don't manage the population of a variety of things. Happens to be deer at the moment, we think. The data was presented in a public panel discussion August 1st, just 2 days ago. The Parks Board initiated some action and a discussion about this a month ago, and then I think they're planning on taking public comment and making their determination of what to do next on August 22nd.
So August 22nd is the date, pardon the expression, drop dead date for when this will be decided what you're going to do?
I think the staff's recommendation from Parkside will be discussed, and if the Park Board is ready to make a decision on the 22nd, that would be the earliest date that a decision would be made. But I know the staff is preparing a report with a recommendation to their Parks Board for discussion at that meeting.
All right, big softball tournament coming into town.
All right, let's do it.
We do. This is National Tournament 30 and 31 since Twin Lakes was constructed in 1992. Every year but one year since the park was opened, we've had a national tournament. This will be two age brackets, a 10 and under and a 12 and under age group from the Northern Territory. That's an area of 11 states. We have seven of those states participating with 28 teams in the two brackets.
Wow, I wonder how these poor kids survive not going to school on August 3rd and being able to travel for softball nationally. Jeez.
You know, fortunately, their interference with their school schedules will not be so impactful because the event doesn't really start until tomorrow. So there's maybe a day out of school. And some of the states that we are drawing teams from may not have school starting as early.
Well, that's my point. And they survive. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's kind of weird to see how those...
I hear where you're going with
that. Well, that's great because, I mean, the return on your investment at Twin Lakes has to be thrilling, doesn't it?
How many people are we talking about for this?
Well, there's usually about... Now, these are great age groups for bringing parents and grandparents and siblings. So, you know, the 10s and 12s are always the ones that generate the most other kind of traffic for hotels and retail establishments and restaurants and so forth. So I think you could figure out about, we figured about 2.2 persons per participant. So if there's about 15 on a team times roughly 30 teams, you're talking, you know, 1,000 people in our community
over
the course of a couple of days this weekend. So it's nice before the students come back to have a little bit more business activity, economic activity going on, and this will be, as of now, before these two tournaments, we haven't done an estimated economic impact number yet. That'll come from Visit Bloomington staff at the end of the event. But over $25 million in economic activity has occurred since the first national tournament was held in Bloomington in 1993.
Awesome. Trivia for us this morning.
This trivia is about a one of our new staff members, relatively new staff members in the Economic and Sustainable Development Department. His name is Sean Starwitz. He happens to have been chosen for an award that will be distributed tonight at the John Waldron Arts Center, one of the 10 and under 40 awards. People who are under 40 in our community that have done good things, and we're happy and proud of Sean for being selected to win one of those awards. He's only been with the city for 15 months. And in his 15 months, which of these has not been one of his initiatives?
Not been, Keith.
Not been.
Okay.
So, A, bringing world-famous chef Alice Waters to town. B, partnering with Vectren Gas and Energy to commission a large, colorful mural on the Beeline Trail. C, securing a grant from the state of Indiana to transform underutilized public alley spaces into safe, interactive spaces. Or D, the formation of a breaking away museum inside of Wonderlab to pay homage to the 79 Academy Award-winning film.
Oh, jeez.
I have no idea.
I'm going to go A.
I'm going to go A as well.
It is D.
It is
Sean
D.
Sean has done the other three things.
Wow.
Everything but
wow.
create a breaking away
well,
museum.
Well, tell him to get
Wonderlab.
To work. He's slacking off here. 15 months. He's got to complete these things.
He's not been very busy.
Congratulations to Sean Starwitz, the under 40 award winner. Mick, enjoy the golf this weekend. It's going to be perfect. So that means 36 for you as well. And we'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right, guys. Have a good one.